Welcome to Money Myths Busted, the Gold Standard, Unmasking the Myths of Precious Metal Investing. I'm particularly fascinated by gold because, unlike other commodities, its value isn't solely tied to its industrial use. It's almost like this. This ancient mystical artifact that still holds sway over our modern financial systems.
Exactly. It's that historical weight, that sense of permanence that draws people in, especially in uncertain times. I mean, when everything else feels shaky, gold has this reassuring solidity. And that's what we'll be unpacking today. Why gold? Why now?
And the big question, is it really a safe haven? Is it all it's cracked up to be? We'll be diving deep into gold's historical performance as an investment, exploring its role in different economic climates and weighing the risks and rewards.
Right. We'll be looking at the various ways to invest in gold, from physical bullion to gold ETFs and mining stocks. And we'll discuss the factors that influence its price, like macroeconomic trends, supply and demand, and even investor sentiment.
We'll also be addressing those key questions that everyone's asking, like why do people flock to gold during economic downturns? Is it a reliable hedge against inflation? And what are the real risks involved? Because let's face it, no investment is without its downsides.
Absolutely. And we'll also touch upon the other precious metals like silver, platinum, and palladium. They often get overshadowed by gold, but they have their own unique investment characteristics and play vital roles in various industries.
So to kick things off, let's rewind a bit. Gold has been used as a form of currency and a store of value for centuries, right? I mean, think about the gold standard. How many countries tied their currencies to gold historically?
Yeah, a lot. Many European countries adopted it in the late 19th century. And then, of course, there was the Bretton Woods system after World War II, which pegged the U.S. dollar to gold. That really solidified gold's position in the global financial system.
Until the Nixon shock in 71, when the U.S. abandoned the gold standard. That was a pivotal moment, wasn't it? It basically ushered in the era of fiat currency.
It really did. And it's interesting to see how gold has behaved since then, how it's kind of taken on this dual role. It's still seen as a safe haven, but it's also a commodity subject to market forces and speculation.
So how does gold perform during economic downturns? I mean, we often hear it referred to as a safe haven, but is that really true? Does its price consistently rise when other markets fall?
Well, it's complicated. Gold can act as a safe haven, but it's not a guaranteed thing. Its price is influenced by so many factors like investor sentiment, currency fluctuations, and even geopolitical events. It's not a simple cause and effect relationship.
Right. And what about inflation? Is gold a reliable hedge against inflation? I've heard conflicting views on this.
Yeah, it's a hotly debated topic. Some argue that gold holds its value during inflationary periods, while others point to times when it hasn't performed as expected. I think it's important to look at the bigger picture, the specific economic context, rather than relying on generalizations.
So we were talking about gold as a safe haven and whether it truly is an edge against inflation. It's fascinating how complex this is, isn't it? I mean, it's not a simple yes or no answer.
It really isn't. The historical data paints a pretty nuanced picture. Like looking at the Dow/Gold ratio, you see these long cycles of stock outperformance followed by periods where gold shines. It makes you wonder what drives those shifts.
Right. And the fact that the ratio peaked right before the dot-com bubble burst, is that just a coincidence or does it say something about how investors perceive risk?
That's a great question. I mean, the 1980 peak coincided with geopolitical instability. The Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. So perhaps there's a correlation between perceived global risk and the appeal of gold.
Maybe. But then if you look at the really long term, gold doesn't seem to hold its value as well as stocks or bonds. That extreme example from 1801 to 1998. A dollar in a stocks becomes $500,000, but a dollar in gold is worth less than a dollar. It's striking. I'll go straight, boom.
Yeah, that long-term perspective is crucial. It challenges the idea of gold as this ultimate store of value. But then again, gold isn't meant to be a growth investment, is it? It's more about preservation, a hedge against specific risks.
I suppose so. But even as a hedge, it's not foolproof. We talked about how its price can be volatile, influenced by so many factors. Investor sentiment, currency fluctuations. Even geopolitical events, it's not a simple equation.
Exactly. And then you have the added complexity of leverage and derivatives. They can magnify gains, sure, but the potential for losses is, well, it's amplified too. It's a high-stakes game.
Definitely. And we haven't even touched on the tax implications. It varies so much from country to country, it can make your head spin. It's a whole other layer of complexity for investors to navigate.
It is. And, you know, the potential for fraud is a real concern, too. There are so many scams out there related to precious metals. It's important for people to be aware of the risks. Due diligence is absolutely key.
So we were talking about gold as a safe haven and its complicated relationship with inflation. But looking back at the history of the gold standard, wow, it's a real roller coaster, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the fact that every major currency abandoned the gold standard during the Great Depression, that speaks volumes. The pressure on those systems must have been immense.
Imagine the Federal Reserve being forced to raise interest rates to protect the gold standard, even while the economy was tanking. It's almost counterintuitive, right? You'd think they'd want to lower rates to stimulate growth.
Yeah, but the priority was maintaining the link to gold. It shows how deeply ingrained the gold standard was in the global financial psyche.
Yeah.
It was sacrosanct, almost.
And then Roosevelt comes along and just upends the whole thing. Suspending the gold standard, revoking gold as legal tender. Mm-hmm. It's a bold move, especially during such a turbulent time.
Bold, yeah. Necessary? Debatable. I mean, it did pave the way for the dollar to become the world's reserve currency, but it also ushered in the era of fiat currency with all its inherent risks. It's a fascinating trade-off.
It really is. And then there's the Nixon shock in 71. Ending the dollar's convertibility to gold, that was another seismic shift. It essentially marked the definitive end of the Bretton Woods system, didn't it?
It did. And it's interesting how the price of gold reacted, that sudden jump. It's like the market was finally free to price gold based on its own merits rather than its relationship to the dollar.
So if we're looking at the long view, what does all this history tell us about gold as an investment? Is it truly a safe haven, or is it just a relic of a bygone era?
Well, I think it's both in a way. It can act as a hedge against certain risks, but it's not a guaranteed thing. And its long-term performance, it hasn't consistently outpaced other asset classes, so it's not a magic bullet, that's for sure.
So reflecting on the history of currency redesigns, it's clear that counterfeiting has been a major driver, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about the $20 bill in the 90s. It was the most counterfeited note. That really pushed the Treasury to introduce color, which, by the way, hadn't been done in almost a century. It's fascinating.
It is. And then the whole evolution of security features. Microprinting, watermarks, that special yellow printing on the 2008 $5 bill to prevent digital copying. It's like an arms race against counterfeiters.
Yeah, and the $100 bill redesign, that was a big one. Bolder colors, color-shifting ink, micro lenses. They really pulled out all the stops. Though they did have those initial hiccups with the creasing and rashing, which delayed its release. Remember that?
Oh, I do. It's interesting how even with all that technology, they still run into production issues. It underscores the complexity of the whole process.
Definitely. And we can't forget the accessibility aspect, that lawsuit by the American Council of the Blind. It led to those plans for raised tactile features, larger numerals, and more color contrast. It's a crucial consideration, making currency usable for everyone.
Absolutely. It's about inclusivity, right? Ensuring that everyone can access and use our currency. It's a social responsibility, really.
It is. So looking at the bigger picture, currency design is this ongoing balancing act, isn't it? Security, functionality, aesthetics, accessibility. It all has to work together.
It does. And it's constantly evolving, responding to new technologies and changing needs. Who knows what the next generation of currency will look like? Maybe we'll all be using digital currencies and these discussions will be a thing of the past.
Maybe. But for now, it's a fascinating area to explore. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive into the history and evolution of currency design. It's been enlightening.